Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Untitled Basketball Hot Take Podcast. Today with Twitter user Jared.
I'm also Twitter user Joe.
And I'm a hoops user, Will.
There you go again.
That's right, folks.
It's done.
I'm going to jump in on this one with something a little new, our enlightenment take of the episode.
Hot off the presses.
Yeah, folks, you are witnessing history here with our first ever enlightenment take. This comes a little bit inspired by last week's Thinker, where we talked about people responding directly to team accounts. And this was a response to the official Raptors account during a game. Raptors just tweeting out, game updates. And one of the top responses was, and it's easy to see why, there was no text, it was just a picture. And the picture was of a baby morphing into an hourglass. And it just said, the meaning of life is to read the Quran. And I think we can all take a lot from that.
I think.
I feel enlightened already.
That's something we should be carrying with us throughout this episode.
Perhaps the key to the Raptors' success so far this year. Just throwing it out there.
It's true. Well, let's bring it into some news. A lot of news this week. Let's start with a huge free agency signing so far this year. It might be arguably the biggest signing. NBA champion, recent NBA champion, Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P, has been signed to the Nuggets.
Our sweet boys, the Denver Nuggets, made the best signing of the year.
I think so.
Maybe the most confident shooter available in all of the player pool out there.
This is like, we're all very happy because Swaggy's back on an NBA team, but have you seen the Nuggets injury report right now? This is actually like, they desperately needed this. Someone has to shoot.
Yeah, I mean, because they signed them off an exception.
I think I saw they had 8 players active like the game before they signed him, and it was just all injury related. Like everyone is just laying on cots in the infirmary, just with cholera, dysentery, snake bites, all the other Oregon Trail illnesses.
They got that meningitis scare has carried over.
It truly is following Mike Malone. There was I read a tweet, like the beginning of it was the Nuggets injury report right now would be a playoff team in the East. And I was like rubbing my hands, like, oh, I can't wait to throw this on blast on the pod. And then I read their injury report and I was like, wait, never mind. Yeah, they totally would be.
And then, yeah. And then I looked at the standings in the East and the Magic are the 8th seed right now. So
anyone could be a playoff team in the East. This podcast is considering adding 2 more members and becoming a playoff team in the East.
It's looking pretty good.
The Orlando Magic, a true rags to a little bit nicer of rags story.
Started at the bottom, and now they're just barely above the bottom.
Y'all got some trade news?
Oh, yeah, of course. Big trade news. Can't believe we didn't even have an emergency podcast about this one. Bucks, Cavs, and Wizards all involved in a 3-team trade. Bucks get George Hill and Jason Smith. Cavs take on some money and get Dellavedova and John Henson, as well as a first and second round pick from the Bucks. And the Wizards get Sam Decker.
Whew.
And also some pick swaps and some other things. Yes. So a couple second round picks interchanged in there too. But
it's such a big money trade for like no one of significance.
whoa, okay, hold on.
I'm sorry.
Jared, it has been a week since I said that John Henson was first team All Suns for me, and now you come at me with this?
Sorry, he's the only one of significance. I'll say that.
And it's been, 2 weeks since we talked about the curse of playing with George Hill? So
oh, yeah. This is huge.
I don't know how I feel about this trade, actually.
We made this happen.
Colin Sexton had a career high in points last week. It's instantaneous how quickly this can take, fast you become better.
But yeah, pretty basically a money dump for the Bucks. I think it said it created, I think I saw that $18 million of cap space were created by dumping Delly and John Henson. I think they were both making $9 or $10 million a year. Get a good solid backup point guard with George Hill, a stretch big with Jason Smith. As a Bucks fan, it's a great trade. Delly and Henson was hurt. Delly wasn't getting too many minutes. I would have rather seen younger guys get more minutes, so I think it's a great trade. I think giving up a 2021 first round pick is a fair price. along with those guys.
I think that part's kind of brave. That means they're totally like, because isn't that right? That pick would be of the summer of Giannis's free agency.
Yes. So it is a bold move, I would say. But the only people who are saying that Giannis is going to leave Milwaukee are people other than Giannis. And Giannis has said all along, I'm staying here and I want to win here. So I have no reason to believe otherwise that he would leave, but yeah, it's a possibility. And
if you've got somebody as good as him, the like correct move to keep him there is probably not, we're going to save our picks that we're going to use in 4 years.
Right.
Right.
Instead of upgrading the team.
Yeah.
I gotta say, this was huge trade, from a Wizards fan's perspective. I was sitting at home wallowing in what this Wizards season was, and it all turned around when I learned that they would save about $8 million in luxury tax. So finally a successful season, back on track.
Congratulations, Will.
Thank you. It's huge for me. But I did appreciate, so the Wizards went out and immediately got blasted by the Cavs. Colin Sexton at a career high, already benefiting from no George Hill. John Wall scored 1 point for the entire game. So real fun one. But when they asked them about it after the game, every single one of them was like blaming it on the Jason Smith being traded. There's like, we love Jason and now he's gone. And I think we're all like coming to terms with this.
Wait, really?
Yeah, like hand to God. Like everyone loved the guy and it was nice, but like he would, has essentially become like our team mascot.
Come on.
And that's... they're all like blaming losing by 20 points to the fucking Cavs on that. I'm like, how fitting would it be if like Ernie Grunfeld trading Jason Smith is what finally brings his reign of terror to an end?
Like, brings this organization to its knees. Wow. That's hilarious.
I didn't know that. That's like strangely beautiful.
Bradley Beal's takes so far this year have included Jeff Green is basically LeBron and Jason Smith being traded rocked our team to the core. So it's, if that's not a clear sign that we need to have that guy on the pod, I don't know what is.
Will, did I ever tell you that there used to be a restaurant in the town where I live that had a DC Rising Wizards t-shirt pinned to the wall with former head coach Randy Whitman's signature on it?
Incredible.
Just thought I'd let you know.
I had a Twitter account that would called DC Finally Rising that would follow me and unfollow me about 3 times a month for the better part of 2 years when I want to follow back. So I hope they found that shirt.
Let's get them on the show. Tell them about it. So speaking of the Wizards, good news for you. They are no longer the most dysfunctional team, it seems.
Yes.
Or at least no longer openly the most dysfunctional team in the league.
We're out of the spotlight, baby. It feels good.
Yeah, that's nice for you. The Bulls, really, however, not so nice.
This has easily become my favorite story of the NBA season. Everything pales in comparison to Jim Boylan becoming basically a strong man for the Chicago Bulls.
This is going to be such a great 30 for 30.
What if I told you?
What would they tell him? What one thing that he's done even can stand out from the rest that could be the what if I told you for his tenure there? What if I told you 2 days into becoming the head coach, he no longer had a team to coach?
Yeah, that's...
What if I told you? We're talking about practice.
What if I told you a man claimed credit for a 5-19 start and it wasn't the dumbest thing he had done that day?
What if I told you the Bulls thought they had Steve Clifford as an assistant coach when really it was Boylan?
Can we go into that quote?
Oh, yes. I just absolutely loved it. From an article, it was from the article about Zach LaVine and Boylan clearing the air between them. And in it, Boylan essentially, he's like talking about what he's brought to the team and is kind of insinuating that Fred Hoiberg didn't do anything when he was the coach there, or not even really insinuating it. He's outright saying it. But they're like talking about it, and he starts bragging, like, I drew all the plays. I ran the practices. I was basically the coach. And he's referencing a team that was 5-19.
Yeah, he's taking credit for something that everyone thought the head coach was doing, which got him fired. Which is not something you want to be flexing on. That's how you get fired.
You're like, before anybody gets it messed up, I should have been the one shipped out of here, not Fred Hoiberg. I want to be in the spotlight.
This is all a big misunderstanding.
It's like the episode. It's like the episode of The Office where Michael Scott just wants credit for his Willy Wonka idea, even though it like cost the company tons of money. But they finally give him credit, and he's like, "Thank you. You're the one that cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars. Thank you."
This really is like, this is, I know all the time, and like it's said so much, I get tired of the phrase. But like people like talking about how like the NBA is like a reality show or a TV show or whatever. But this is right up there in just being so ridiculous it shouldn't really be possible to happen. Like, yeah. This is the kind of coach who would get made fun of in the NFL, but he's doing it in the NBA, which is all about the players.
So let's try to figure out the order of things, maybe, to try to explain this better.
Good idea.
If you don't know, see, where do we start here? I guess we start with the coach getting fired.
Fred Hoiberg out in Chicago a couple weeks ago.
I think we did mention that.
I think it was just last week.
Yeah,
it feels like a couple of weeks ago.
I think just last week.
It was like maybe 7 days ago.
Yeah, a lot has happened.
And I mean that in the best way.
So he gets fired. Let's see, I think their first performance.
They have only played 4 games since then.
Yeah. So, okay, we recorded last Monday.
Yes.
They did not play. Tuesday, they lost to the Pacers. Friday, they beat the Thunder.
Yeah, that was a Jim Boylan victory.
Jim Boylan victory. Followed by, this is the very next day, a historic loss. Worst loss in franchise history. Losing to the Celtics 133-77.
Let he whose team has not lost by 56 points cast the first stone.
And then last night, which is Monday the 10th, they lost to the Kings. So let's go back to that Friday, Saturday back-to-back. Because I believe the day before this back-to-back, they had a 2 to 3 hour practice, right? You said that earlier, I think, Will.
Yeah, I think it already had two hour practices.
Yeah.
And they said they were doing a lot of just like running. It was just like
wind sprints,
gophers, you know, your usual just conditioning drills.
So then they play a game. Then the next day they play a game. They get absolutely blown out. Then I believe early in the first, I think, coach subbed out all 5 starters.
Yeah, he did it twice in one game.
Yeah, and then later in the game, when they started losing by more, he subbed them out again to see, I think he said something about like, to see if the bench could like try to put something together, which they did not. that did not happen. And then he scheduled another like 2 to 3 hour practice the next day, which then prompts players. It was reported that players had started like a group chat texting or something, considering just not showing up. And then they had a meeting, like a player meeting, and then they went and confronted the coaching staff, which then Boylan, I believe, he said that he tried to take credit for having that meeting.
The organization has declared that they will form a leadership committee, which is classic, like very vague speak. But when they asked Boylan about like, how do you feel about the Bulls putting together a leadership committee for this team? His response was, I'm juiced up. I'm jacked.
What does that mean?
I have no clue what this guy's ever. There's so many beautiful details in the story. Like in the presser after the 56 point loss, they are talking to him, and he said he pulled the starters early so they would be better rested for the grueling practice tomorrow. And like, I know no matter what, but I love a coach that is like, no, we're resting during the game so we can practice harder. Damn it.
Oh man. This isn't
what's better than this, guys being dudes.
Well, the guys being dudes coach just got a contract extension, and I'm pretty sure just off of the strength of that vine.
Hell yeah, yeah.
He did.
Also, the players who reportedly shut down the mutiny, who kept it from going like full belly up, were Robin Lopez and Lauri Markkanen. And I want to know who on that team is listening to Lauri Markkanen when he puts his foot down.
No disrespect to Lauri, but it's not him. That's for sure.
The only one on that team I'm listening to is Bobby Portis and Robin Lopez. Look at that guy. I would follow that man to the ends of the earth.
Yeah,
an absolute mountain of a man.
If you're going to confront the coaching staff after a meeting, just send Bobby Portis in ahead of all you. And I think that's the way Bulls players can make changes happen in that organization.
See, I assume Boylan did a bit of homework and got Portis on his side ahead of time. Because if he's treating Portis just like he's treating the rest of them, you gotta figure he's already been taken out in the back alley somewhere. Boylan's just showing up to press conferences with a black eye, and when he gets asked about it, he's like, "Man, I'm jacked. I love this."
See, I'm scanning over the ESPN has a nice piece about this. See if there's any other details. A lot of quotes from Wendell Carter Jr.,
who is a certified son, and Boylan better do no wrong by him, although he clearly already has.
Boylan pushed back on players' insistence that they had initiated a meeting, which is a fun quote. It's not believable.
Telling them that he worked with Pop. He's like, "Man, I have coached with Greg Popovich," and then one of the players legit said to his face, "We ain't the Spurs, and you ain't Pop."
I love that. I saw that line. I was like, yes.
Oh, no.
That's Bobby Portis.
This guy has been, like, coaching for so long. He's coached with so many greats, and he has clearly never learned a thing.
No, not at all. Especially, like, you're coaching the Bulls, which has, like, some bad injury history. Especially when, like, one of your previous coaches is kind of, like, I'd say infamous for overworking players to injury. And
he watched Tibbs, and that's the only thing he took from him.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't like much of what this guy does, but I do love the way his players' ACLs are just snapping from being overworked.
I'm fired up.
I'll take that. This is one of the few times I legit feel that, like, and I'm really only partly joking when I say this, that someone, random person, one of us could have been hired and done just as good a job as this professional coach.
I think we'd make a great coach.
For half the price, too.
I mean, the Bulls are only doing this to save money. Like, the most notoriously cheap organization maybe in sports, like right there with the Marlins and Rays or something. So they get rid of their coach. They're like, this guy's going to stay the coach so we don't have to pay anybody, Jack. We will come in and for $500,000 for the year, just don't do anything and piss off your players a little bit less.
There's a Bleacher Report article I've just found about how players went to the NBPA to discuss Jim Boylan's extreme tactics.
I thought that was really funny too. Like, this guy's Gestapo like tactics.
He's got him running.
Yeah, like literally a 2-hour practice of running for most of it. It's like, you guys gotta stop this guy. All right. I ain't running anymore. I thought that was really funny. Like, that's the total, like, I'm gonna tell my dad on you. And then go to Adam Silver or whatever.
The NBAPA is just like, have you considered just not running when he tells you to? And they're like, oh shit, that's good, that's good.
So how long, let's just place our bets now, how long does Boylan last?
Alright, I'll go at any competent organization would have fired him like 2 days into all this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go extreme, bet on the Bulls' incompetency. They try to push this as long as possible and say he makes it. I'll double down. He makes it the rest of the year because they don't want to pay another coach.
Ooh.
The org already said they love his tough love style of coaching. So
yeah, Paxson likes him.
Paxson called Luol Deng a bitch for not playing on a broken leg. So this seems up his alley.
Yep. I'd say I'm along the same lines. I don't think this is the right move to keep him. But yeah, from an organizational standpoint of who we're talking about here, I'd say at least through the All-Star game.
Yeah, I'm thinking All-Star game-ish also.
But they already like committed to him. Like he's not the interim coach. He's the coach.
Yeah, but I mean, like, how, I mean,
but I don't know
he's
how
already,
serious that is.
Yeah, the thing is that he's already like not getting paid a lot. So if they do turn around and be like, "Oh yeah, okay, fuck it," like we'll pay a coach, like whatever you want, we'll pay someone that's like decent at least. Then like
bring back Phil Jackson and his feet picks.
Firing Boylan is not gonna lose them much money.
That's true.
But, you know, that's from, like, that. You know, that's if they're actually, like, thinking.
Jalen Rose made the suggestion of hiring Juwan Howard as their new coach. Currently an associate head coach with the Heat.
I mean, probably better. Probably get along with the players better.
I think he's going to be a head coach eventually.
Yeah.
Like, in the not-too-distant future. And he'll be good.
Who is... Quick game. Who is the worst, like, plausible NBA coach who would be doing a worse job than this?
Oh, that's a hard one. Because, like, the bar is set, like,
yeah,
incredibly low already.
Jason Kidd.
It's good, but, man, like, Giannis wanted to die for that man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was weird. he was kind of like the best coach Giannis ever knew to that point.
That was
and
like
then he got, his, and like, then he got now he has Budenholzer, and I guarantee Giannis is like, oh yeah, this is way better.
Giannis stays up late at night, like, stroking a picture of Joe Brunty, wishing he'd come back.
I mean, Kidd was like, second coach?
That was why the Bucks lost to the Suns. They were too focused on Prunty.
Oh.
Prunty's an assistant over there now. Did you see pregame when the Suns played the Bucks? Giannis went over and, like, yeah, bear hugged him and, like, whipped him around like a rag doll for a second. It was hilarious.
He was like, oh, my sweet son has returned.
I'm thinking probably, like, who's a player, like a current player that other players just hate?
Melo.
Carmelo.
I don't think Melo would be a good coach.
I don't know that they hate Melo, honestly.
I think a lot of them are cool with him. They hate us.
I think a lot of players love Melo, and I would have no reason to not believe.
I think they love him, but they don't love playing with him.
Yeah. I think JaVale would be a pretty bad coach.
Oh, Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah, easy. Everybody hates Dwight. That would go poorly.
He'd
be worse.
He'd be like, oh, I'm sorry you had a bad practice. Here's some jokes.
He would do fart jokes nonstop and from someone.
Oh, for sure.
What about Birdman?
Oh, man. I always just hated Birdman. And
former player, but Birdman.
Bobby Portis. How do we know he's not
he's already
the
running
coach?
The team, so yeah, exactly.
He's been coach for a year.
Lance Stevenson.
Oh, that'd be Rondo. Come on.
Please. Well, Rondo's
going to be a great coach.
Rondo's a genius, which I hate. He's no friend of the show, but... He's
that's
a basketball
true. That's
genius.
True.
Exactly.
But
he's going to be a great coach.
When he's mad, I think when and if he does coach, and yeah, now I think about it, yeah, he's going to coach. He's going to set a record for most ejections.
That's possible.
Of a coach, for
but
sure.
But his players will want to die for him. I think he's going to be an awesome coach.
The refs are going to hate him.
Do you think he'll coach like he plays, and that, like, if the game's not important, he won't even try to coach?
Yeah.
Probably.
He doesn't coach till playoffs.
He just forgets to sub people in and out if the game's not on national TV. Like, I think people kind of hate – not even kind of. I think people hate Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
But, like, he still has some natural charisma to him, so I'm assuming he'd get a couple people on his side on the team.
That's true. And, like – He makes some good plays. I think he understands it,
yeah,
the game pretty well.
I think Dwight Howard's probably the best submission.
I think, yeah, it's, come on.
Like, they would, everyone would hate him.
Maybe Nick Young. Nick Young has charisma, for sure, but basketball IQ, I don't know.
Tony Parker, as soon as he hooks up with all of his players' wives.
What about a guy like Steven Adams, who's just, like, happy-go-lucky, like... Doing American accents pregame.
He's posting Instagram thumbs up, like
posting
easy GG.
Posting Fortnite Instagrams. Like,
every time I win, it's just easy GG.
Yeah, every win.
Like, I love the guy, but I don't know that he would make a great basketball coach.
I don't think he'd be good, but I think the players would like him.
Yeah, I think he'd be well liked.
And I gotta say, if he decided to be good, like, it would work, because none of them would say no to anything. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's part of the disconnect always, is you get these, like, quote-unquote tough guys, like Boylan, who looks like, I don't know, like, looks like the fucking Pillsbury Doughboy, and dumb as hell, but you got, like, a seven-foot huge mountain of a man, and Steven Adams, who no one in the NBA can probably take straight up. Like, it, the tough guy thing would probably work.
Yeah, it would work.
Yeah, thinking like Marcin Gortat, like,
oh yeah, right,
Boban. Get any of those guys coaching, and no one could fight them.
Let the Morris twins coach a team together.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Nothing could go wrong.
They're sharing the board. They're like each going.
So let's go.
It's the two of them in one giant suit that wraps all the way around them.
Yes.
Here's my front office. Dwight Howard head coach, J.R. Smith assistant coach, GM. LeBron James.
It can't fail.
It's too bad that it's good.
You know, what's crazy is it's arguable whether this is even the worst head coaching hire around professional basketball right now, because the LA Sparks just hired Derek freaking Fisher to be their coach.
Yeah, I read that.
Which is like, it's, first of all, he wasn't good at it.
No.
Second of all, it's very reminiscent of like the New York Liberty having Isaiah Thomas be their like president of operations or whatever he is in that role.
Yeah.
Not only could you not find a good coach, you had to find someone who has a not good history with women to run this team.
I think the thing with the Fisher hire that maybe they feel comfortable with, maybe the one thing would be that Phil Jackson is going to be nowhere near that team.
Which is funny, like the players seem excited. Like they're like, oh, legend or whatever, but
yeah, I feel like that was like an quote unquote LA legend kind of hire.
Yeah. Now the Minnesota
There's one Lynx, buzzer beater.
The Minnesota Lynx are gonna continue the rivalry by hiring Matt Barnes.
Perfect. All this Bulls talk is reminding me of the time the Bucks had some ticket sales. And they had a player representative for each team that some of the games were there. So this was last year. So like the Lakers, Lonzo Ball, and the Rockets, James Harden. And for the Bulls, they had Benny the Bull, the mascot.
I hope that.
It was very funny.
I mean, he'd be a better coach.
There we go.
I'm telling you, you run out that inflatable version of Benny the Bull, and like anytime a player's acting up, he just swallows them.
Shoot.
That'd be awesome.
Hire us, Chicago.
Since we brought up the Lakers a couple times and Lance and Lonzo, please tell me you fellas saw, and we'll retweet this on the account, but the clip of the Lakers trying to go like ultra showtime in the game against the Heat and mm-hmm. just messing everything up.
It was so good, and all Lance had to do was shoot the ball, and then he tried passing it again and just gave it to the other team.
They like messed up the possession so bad, gives it to the other team. They get it back and have another fast break, and it was like, it was Alonzo or Kuzma tries a behind the back pass that misses everyone and just goes like all the way back to half court where the Heat get it again, and it just cuts to Luke Walton, who's looking out into the arena like he wants to die.
That's pretty much Luke's like resting face at this point, I think.
Luke
like,
just looks into the camera.
It was gold. That was fantastic basketball.
Didn't Lance try to do some like through the leg pass to like from half court or something?
Shout out to Zilcho at E.L. Cresswell. He was telling us about how he was watching the game, and Lance tried a between the legs pass to half court, and he was currently standing under his own rim when he
we'll try to find a clip of this and retweet it.
A lot of fun highlights to check out. But it was Lance. Yes, that's also newsworthy. It was the last ever meeting between LeBron and D-Wade.
Yeah, they'll never talk to each other again after this game.
Done. I kept wanting to, every time I see it, quote tweet it with like, oh, so you're saying it's not going to be Lakers Heat in the finals? Okay. For later. But I was trying to tone it down on the TL, so I refrained. But I thought it was pretty funny, the clip from after the game that LeBron like very clearly wanted everyone to hear and see, when he like walked up to the D-Wade in front of all the cameras, slightly turned towards them, was like, it was either going to be here or in the garden, baby, was a pretty fun cap to a night of NBA. Got a lot of people mad.
Cut to the crying Porzingis draft kid. all New York fans. Spike Lee just like throwing his weird glasses on the ground in disgust.
I did. It really threw me because I saw like all the Knicks fans upset later. But when he said it at the time, I thought LeBron was just referencing having his final game against Dwayne Wade, like on the Lakers and Heat, but in the Garden, just because.
just a neutral site.
Yeah. See, I was thinking the same thing because, like, I couldn't comprehend the idea of like LeBron being a Knick.
Yeah.
I don't think that was on anyone's radar.
No.
The Lakers were at least on some, like, yeah, this could happen, but it probably won't. And then it did. But I never heard anything about him going to the Knicks at all.
No. And, like, I never would have suspected that.
There's still a part of me that believes he just said that because, like, him and Dwayne Wade had so many, like, huge games against the Knicks in the Garden where he's just like, I own that arena. I'm never playing on that stupid team, but, like, that's our arena.
I believe that more so than just the possibility of him being a Knick.
He couldn't go to the Knicks. Hollywood's not in New York. If he was going anywhere other than the Lakers, he was going to go to Washington, D.C. to conserve and start to consolidate political power.
That's right.
He'll take over.
Great callback. Speaking of throwbacks, I've got a good Bulls retro take we could dive into if we're ready.
Yeah, let's just do that now. Since we're on the Bulls, might as well do it now.
This is our retro take segment. I was looking into Twitter a little bit, diving in, seeing if we had any good NBA Finals predictions that were worth diving into. Saw a disturbing amount of Warriors-Lakers NBA Finals predictions. and I'm just concerned about that on a whole another level. But
can't blame someone for picking their two favorite teams to make it to the finals.
It's like either Warriors Lakers or Warriors Celtics, baby. Like, okay, let's.
Oh, didn't you hear? It's a Northern and Southern conferences now.
Anyway, so nothing much beyond that on Twitter. So, dove back into the classic Yahoo Answers for this retro take. This one comes to us from the year 2008. The question is: the Chicago Bulls. What happened?
Question
goes on. The asker goes on. They have such a good cast of players and good depth. Heinrich, Gordon, Nocioni, Thomas, their top four, and a good bench with Duhan, Deng, Cephalosha. I hated the Drew Gooden, Larry Hughes trade because both suck.
Whoa.
Why is it that they sucked this year? Maybe they need a strong defensive center to rattle the team next year? They definitely don't need any depth at another position. Brook Lopez would help them. The kid out of Stanford, yeah? That's the end. Any thoughts? Brook Lopez was going to be in the draft. So he would have been a rookie the following year. But, shout out to Chris Duhan getting a mention on the podcast.
Thank you for finding a take that has two of my historic sons on it.
Wow. Yeah, we got Ben Gordon and Larry Hughes.
Huge negative points for this guy shitting on Larry Hughes.
I think this was after you're thinking of Cavs Larry Hughes. This was Bulls Larry Hughes. He was.
First of all, I am always thinking of Wizards Larry Hughes.
Oh, okay.
Who I averaged somewhere around 18 steals per game with in NBA Live 05.
Fair.
He'll always be that good.
Well, I averaged 19 steals per game with Cephalosha.
It's true. He's a great defensive player.
What year game was this?
NBA Live? Is that what you're talking about, Will?
Yeah, I was playing some live.
Yes, it's that game that I did better than you with Cephalosha.
The exact game you were talking about.
Cephalosha is an underrated, he's been in the league how long guy?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah. That's what I was just thinking, too, when he said that.
I don't think people paid much attention to him before, like, Hawks, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, really, kind of strange career, like, unknown up to Hawks. And then all of the stuff with, like, the NYPD breaking his leg that somehow just kind of faded away.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Like, just doesn't come up that much anymore. And he was actively suing the NYPD for ending his season breaking his leg.
And he won, I think, right?
I think so. I mean, it was pretty open and shut.
Yeah. Is he on a team right now?
He's still on the Jazz, I think.
Oh, that sounds
Jazz.
That
sounds. He was on the Thunder for a while.
Yeah,
was.
He's on the Jazz now. Yes,
the Thunder before Hawks, I think. is right. It's kind of,
yes.
When you go on the Thunder, it's kind of like Andre Robertson, pre-Andre Robertson. It was dope.
Pretty much.
I want to unpack
any more thoughts on this?
Yeah, I want to unpack that dominant top four that this Bulls team
has. So Kirk Heinrich, Ben Gordon, Andres Nocioni, and Tyrus Thomas are their top four.
Wow.
What a team.
All four are out of the league now, but this was 10 years ago. So, yeah. But Tyrus Thomas was a rookie then or something. He was like a young, up-and-coming player at this time.
Yeah, they got him by trading LaMarcus Aldridge for him, right?
That's right.
Legend. There's the Bulls for you. Always a first-class organization. Just the gall to say that those four are making up your team and then just say, and we don't need depth at any other position.
Right. Good old Kirk Heinrich will carry.
Said the part about the 2008 Bulls and this guy being like, I was hearing he's confident about him. I heard top four, and I instantly started running through people in my head like, who the hell could he be talking about? And I was close to Nocioni before you read the name.
Tyrus Thomas, career numbers, 7.7 points, 4.8 rebounds per game.
Ooh.
Just need a little depth behind that, and you're good.
So I've got,
let's see.
I've got some Bulls takes for today. While we're still,
I've got one answer I want to touch on.
Okay.
To this retro take, real quick.
Oh yes, yes.
The answerer said, "I think they are no longer playing as a unit. They are a young team, and their coach can't control them. People are skipping practices and getting into fights with coaches. Their chemistry sucks."
Yes.
Pretty spot on.
Oh, man.
Put that poster on the show.
Things never change.
Well, if I could, I would, but the poster's name is LeBron James.
So, I was really hoping that's where you were going to reveal that it was you.
But surprise twist ending. The source for their answer that they just answered with, their source just says LeBron James sucks. So I don't know if that's just LeBron faking, saying this guy sucks, but it's really him, one of Kevin Durant's ghost Twitter accounts or something. Just poorly covered up by LeBron.
I think that's classic, elite athletes always need that chip on their shoulder. So it's not that surprising that LeBron would go online and just tweet that he sucks so he could look at it and be like, I got to prove that guy wrong.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Don't dox these people, but also if you happen to, I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
That's all I got for the retro take this week.
So I've got a couple.
You know that was from 08, because if it had been from 2011, it wouldn't have said LeBron James sucks. It would have said something like LeBrick James, or maybe get offensively racial and be Le Thug. That was a classic, I think, around the time.
Just something about his hairline. Anything at all about his hairline.
Jokes about the fourth quarter. Man, 2008 was a simpler time, clearly.
So I'm going to quick fire through these. We have, this is from Chicago Bulls Talk on Twitter, at Bulls Source. This is a fun one. It's not really a take, but I thought it was funny. They tweeted this on the 4th. Can we please not screw up this tank like we did last season? Season is over with. No chance for playoffs. Tanking for a top three pick is and should be our number one goal. And then from there, I'm going to bring us to a very different opinion from at Knicks Central. It's not even a Knicks themed account. Or no, it used to blog on. It doesn't matter. Anyways. If the Bulls stay healthy, they will make the playoffs, guaranteed. That was tweeted on the 7th.
Oh, my.
So that's right before all this. So that just instantly aged poorly. And then I have one more Bulls one. This may be a hot take. Oh, this is from at Torgy_77. This may be a hot take, but I think the Bulls should hire Greg Popovich. Get off the sinking ship that is the Spurs, Pop. Come join a juggernaut. Make it happen, at Bulls.
Smart. That way your players can no longer say you ain't Pop.
Yeah.
This is a hot take, but I think the Bucks should sign LeBron James.
Right.
LeBron, get off that sinking ship of the Lakers and come with a juggernaut. Hashtag things that can't happen. Like,
you just have to believe.
Like, you can't just take a coach from another team that has had the coach for that long.
Okay. I don't Popovich is not going to coach here. Another team.
I think Popovich would rightfully see Bobby Portis as his new Tim Duncan and build a franchise around him.
He does. There are a couple. Lauri Markkanen is a big European white guy. I mean, that's Popovich's bread and butter right there.
True. Maybe if they still had Mirotić.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been it. Feliciano, does he count?
I'll count it.
Enough of a big man project player.
We are always here to stand Cristiano Feliciano. love Big Chris. Making somehow $8 million a year. Damn. And hasn't, to my knowledge. I got a few Bulls ones.
Yeah, let's get these Bulls ones out.
This Bulls news was so fun, we decided to make it a Bulls-themed episode, so I needed to kind of regroup from some of the takes I already had. So I went to an old standard. When you need to find some great takes, I typed in Bobby Portis, basically, and just saw what came up. And you start off with some fun ones, you know, from 2015. If Chicago drafts Bobby Portis, it'd basically just be the rich getting richer. I'm not sure how rich they were at that point. But, I mean, here also, a lot of these from 2015, some from 2016. I mean, Bobby Portis is basically DeMarcus Cousins.
Okay.
Bobby Portis is basically Tristan Thompson, a rebound monster. You know, maybe a little more reasonable. Basically, Bobby Portis is this year's Rodney Hood. You know, the how and why the heck did teams pass this guy up? Guy.
Yeah, everybody thinks of Rodney Hood like that.
This is what happens when you watch too much Summer League, as what a guy said at Hyken, very self-aware, but he said that Bobby Portis is basically the Wilt Chamberlain of Summer League, so that's what was happening around there. And I really, this one hurt. I wish I hadn't seen this as I was always going, but it's probably the most reasonable yet, which was, I wasn't high on Bobby Portis anyways. He's basically Tyler Hansbro, which, whoa,
ouch.
Man.
Ouch.
Whoa.
A little far. But my favorite came actually from 6 hours ago. I didn't even see it when I first made this search. I had to refresh, and this was just an all-around great tweet. The Bulls need time to develop team discipline and team chemistry. However, mental toughness is something that can't be taught. You either have it naturally or you don't. In sports, mental toughness is basically playing with attitude and anger, and only Bobby Portis has that.
I mean, spot on.
I mean, there I think their coach has some of that too.
That's what I'm saying. They must be getting along great, because Bobby would have killed this guy already if they weren't.
Oh, yeah.
This is very much a thing. Like, if Jimmy Butler was on the Bulls right now, he would love this coach. He would think it was awesome.
He'd either think he's awesome or, like, done that shit from the sideline where he'd be just tell the coach, like, no. No way.
Yeah.
No.
Then I got a few fun ones from a guy who's making a real habit out of some bad takes, at Hoops Critic.
Hoops?
Bad takes, and he's stealing my bit. He's just been tweeting about, he's very pro-coach in this Bulls coach fiasco. So 2 days ago, he was saying that at a certain point, the Bulls players as a unit need to worry a little less about the message from their coach and a little more about playing hard. They wanted a softer approach. They shouldn't have treated Hoiberg like a doormat. They reap what they sow. So big fan of anyone getting very dramatic about this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying it's amazing the lengths these players are willing to go to just for the option to not have to play hard all the time, which right after them calling the NBAPA, I guess I think it's kind of funny. I get to a bit, but definitely my favorite was after someone talked about that NBAPA interaction. He said, if they want to be treated like men, they need to act like men. Particularly disappointed in Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker, who have been around long enough to know that their effort level this season has been substandard.
They've not even been around that long. Like, half their career, they've been injured.
They also have never given more effort than this in their entire careers. The Bulls went out and signed.
I would say LaVine gave the most effort at the dunk contest.
There you go.
In game.
Specifically, like, signed guys who make a point of it to not play defense, and in some cases actually brag about it. And then this guy's like, are you kidding me? These guys are going to give less effort than other players? What the hell?
They give more effort avoiding defending.
He's singling out this season. Nothing's different about those two players this season.
No.
Like, they are who they are. Except Zach LaVine's better on offense than we thought. That's been the one big change.
Is he just naming the only two names that he knows from the team?
Yeah, that's it. Like, I get that their effort definitely is a problem, but I don't understand being particularly disappointed in them as if you like didn't expect them to act the exact way they've always acted in their NBA careers.
I mean, like, I'd be disappointed too if I truly thought that they'd be making playoffs.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not an insane person.
I'm like, it'd be like me getting really upset with like Dwight Howard's like not taking the game seriously enough or something.
Yeah.
In a vacuum, maybe, but he hasn't for 10 years, so why would he start now?
Remember when Dwight had, like, when he signed with the Lakers and halfway through the season, he had to, like, take time to, like, rededicate himself to the game?
That is a great reason to miss some time.
That was weird. But that was also very fun to watch when he just, like, sucked ass for the Lakers. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't dedicated, but for the next half of the season, I will be. But then he still sucked. But then he leaves. What? And then the first game he played back at Staples, it was against the Clippers, and the Clippers fans booed him.
I do. You have made me realize, though, what I desperately need is a recreation with the Bulls players and coach of that Dwight Howard, Kobe Bryant fighting over Mike D'Antoni picture. I just... I'm not even sure who the two players should be, like Lauri Markkanen and, oh no, it probably should be just be like Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker at this point. I don't know why they're fighting each other, but.
And then Wendell Carter Jr. is like sitting in the corner getting interviewed. Because like half of the quotes in these stories about the Bulls have come from him.
It really is. It's also like, he's like a couple weeks removed from saying something like, I'm the best player on this team or along those lines. So like, I'm going to be something like that, which is the right mindset, as he is the like probably only star potential type player on that team.
Yeah, that's fair.
And they handled that well. Like all the other players are like, that's what we want from our young guns type stuff. But yeah. It was, he's been very interviewee.
Got a couple retro Michael Jordan themed takes.
Uh-oh.
Since we're on this Bulls train. This was in 2015. Michael Jordan basically fought every member of the Bulls from 1984 to 1998. Based on this, Kobe will never be MJ.
So, well, okay. It's like,
I'm honestly kind of speechless. I don't know what to say.
Like, I have no bias one way or another to either player, but yeah, okay.
Just based on that, like, Kobe didn't fight any Bulls players from 94 to 98.
Here's another one. Bill Walton is trying to say that Michael Jordan is not in the top three best players ever to play in the NBA.
I love
Kareem the GOAT over MJ.
I love Bill Walton. So
I love him.
What he says goes. Sorry.
Walton suggested Jordan was basically average in regards to his size, strength, speed, and jumping ability. That's like an average athlete was Michael Jordan, is basically what Bill Walton said, also in 2015. Probably high as a kite.
Okay, while we're on this real quick, on average, who is the most average player in the league right now?
There's got to be a way to calculate this.
No, nah, just off the top of your head.
With numbers.
No.
Off the top of my head, Joe Ingles comes to mind. But I think he's above average.
He's so good.
He's so good. Sorry, he's above average.
Robin Lopez.
Damn. I can see that now, yeah. This is actually like, I know I gave the challenge in the question, but...
George Hill.
Yeah, George Hill's fair.
Kelly Olynyk.
He's pretty average. Honestly, like, until... Not including the last 2 weeks, I would have said, like, Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a guard. Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
That's all I can think of. It's hard. It's actually hard to think of an average, like a mega average.
I feel like Shump's pretty average.
Yeah, Shump's pretty average. especially Cath Schump, if not below.
Bill Walton just, like, early in the season during, like, the Maui Invitational was just talking to his broadcast partner, and I forget the coach he was talking about, but he was just asking, like, was your father coached by, and he, like, named some, like, legendary coach. And the guy goes, my father was an air traffic controller. And he goes, but how cool would it have been if your father was coached by? Oh, and also the guy we were at, Hoops Critic, we were reading earlier, who really didn't like the players, he was a wealth of bad takes, because when I was scrolling through his Bulls take, there was one in there just about how much he loves Dan Dakich. And I know this is an NBA-themed podcast, so might not be as many, won't be as many college fans, but if you know anything about Dan Dakich or have ever heard him talk, that is a just awful take.
I've got one more Michael Jordan take here.
Okay.
Cat Williams dropping a Netflix special after Dave Chappelle is basically the Bulls going from Michael Jordan to Ron Mercer.
Oh, that would have been a good thinker.
That,
there's a lot here.
Really insulting to Cat Williams. What the hell? Cat Williams is a psychopath, but he had a damn good run.
It's true.
That was in early 2018 that was tweeted. So
you're telling me that
present day Cat Williams.
Cat Williams has a new special?
Well, within the last year.
Shoot. Sorry, I gotta
watching
go.
The old...
This podcast is over.
Cat Williams specials in Atlanta where like Three Stacks was in the front row and Little John was just coming up on the stage, like cracking open a beer and throwing the A up is the best thing ever.
We need that.
Tell me if Ron Mercer can do that.
I was going to say, we need that in more basketball games. Do we have any more Bulls takes?
I'm fresh out.
I was just saying my only remaining take is that this is the best thing happening or that will happen in the NBA this year. This is a blast. I hope it lasts forever.
No, I am enjoying this so much. Waking up in the morning, checking ESPN just for Bulls, Twitter searching Bulls.
Oh, did you see the Jimmy Butler quote about some reporter asked him about that. This is tangentially Bulls related because it was while he was on the Wolves, but that game where he took the third stringers and was beating the first stringers.
Oh, yeah.
They asked him about it and he said, I was dominating, but I only took one shot.
I believe that.
Classic Jimmy.
Did y'all see
only Jimmy was on the Bulls at this time, this would be the funniest thing, even funnier than it currently is.
Did y'all see the Kings just making fun of the Bulls after they beat them?
Yeah, they were like, looks like you got another 3-hour practice after this one.
The locker room, like, enjoy that 2.5-hour practice. The Bulls is literally so the kid at this point who, like, is grounded during the summer and all the other kids are coming to his window and just making fun of him. Like, we're going to the pool, dickhead. You can come.
Spot on.
So I have one non-Bulls tweet. It was hot enough that I wanted to get it out now before I lose it. Mm. Early hot take. This is from October 17th of this year. From Eric Corrine. E. Corrine. Early hot take. Yeah. Kyle Lowry is still the best player on the Raptors.
Disagree. I think he's had 15 points in the last 4 games combined.
Well, Butler can dominate by only taking one shot, so what makes
you think? All right, all right.
I mean, even if we weren't counting like the last 2 weeks, that's still wrong.
There is for those of you who are not deep into the like combo analytics and Raptors Twitter, which there's no reason to be, there's a surprisingly probably large contingent of people who think that like Kyle Lowry has been the MVP of that team up to this point in the year.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that actually.
And I love Kyle Lowry so much that I'm good with it, but I'd have to watch some more Raptors before I confidently made that hot a take.
Yeah, I mean, I try to watch for that and then I just get distracted and then I go on Twitter and then I type in the DM that Lowry's thick. So I never actually get to see him play well.
How do you get distracted? Just stare at his ass the whole time. I'd never look at anybody else.
Do the analytics have like a thickness per 36 minutes? Do the analytics have a stat on how much Kyle Lowry loves his parents?
I don't want to get too erotic on this podcast, but can you imagine Kyle Lowry backing you down in the post?
No wonder this podcast has an explicit tag. It's just Will's Kyle Lowry fan fiction at this
point. Yeah, again, I gotta go.
Yeah, we're all suddenly busy now.
Jared, give us the thinker so we can get out of here.
Okay. All right. It's a little bit different this time. This is from Blake Griffin.
Ooh.
The real Blake Griffin. Not just
come on the podcast to defend yourself, if need be, Blake Griffin.
So I'll just read it like anyone else. At Blake Griffin 23 says, accidentally hit a squirrel yesterday in my car. Feel so guilty I could barely sleep. Casey Anthony is a monster.
It's true. That's a room temperature take right there.
That's a taker. No, that's our thinker. All right. Well, we're sorry for all the eroticism today.
I'm not.
We're not sorry.
Follow us at Untitled Hot Take on Twitter. Send us your hot takes via the DMs. Ones you find or ones you have yourself.
Yep. Again, if you want to hear our first two episodes, those are on SoundCloud.
And if you want to hear a continuation of the Kyle Lowry erotica, just hit up my personal Twitter account. there's always more.
Well, it's an overflowing. The cup runneth over.
That's our MVP. Well, thanks for listening. We will likely see you next week.